pray that the Lord might be magnified.
Amen.
We've just heard a message.
Elder Jim Winfrey.
Directed to the youth. The youth from 5 to 95. Seems like that calls for a message for the old folks. Those that are from 95 to 5. We heard messages yesterday that kept drawing us to the cross. Psalm 22 is suffering. In your imagination, come and stand by Him. The righteousness of God, that is Jesus Christ, on that cross for us. Lots of messages about crucifixion. The cross is death. Seems like to me that calls for a message about resurrection.
Yeah.
A message for the old folks primarily, because they're the ones probably most interested in resurrection. Think about it more, hope in it more. If resurrection is not reality, what does anything else matter?
That's right.
Right. If resurrection is not reality, what does the cross matter? Mm-hmm. If the resurrection we're talking about this morning is not reality, what good did the Lazarus resurrection we heard about yesterday morning matter?
Right.
If the resurrection we're going to talk about this morning is not reality, what good was the spiritual resurrection? That calling. Called what? To die and be no more? What good are the principles that we proclaim in God's Word? What's election if there's not resurrection? What's redemption if there's not resurrection?
Right.
What's regeneration if there's not resurrection? What is there to say to the youth or the old folks if there's not resurrection?
Right.
If resurrection is not reality, nothing else really matters. Isn't that kind of what Paul said in the resurrection chapter? If in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. If it's just all about here, here matters, whether it be few or many. But really, what does that matter if the Lord delivers us for a little more time down here, if there's not any such thing as resurrection?
Amen.
Right.
So I'm saying nobody else's sermon matters unless you know what I'm going to say from this sermon. Not that my sermon is going to make the difference, but resurrection makes a difference.
Amen.
Resurrection is the centerpiece of Christianity.
Yes, it is.
Resurrection makes us different to the rest of them. If there's no resurrection, your faith is vain. You're believing in nothing.
Right.
If there's no resurrection, your man is dead, like their men.
Right.
And we're no different to them. Resurrection is reality. Our man lives.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now then, if resurrection is reality, nothing else matters. A lot of things matter to Peter. Like they might kill me. I better not say I know him. I better stand over here afar off somewhere and not be connected with him. After Peter had seen resurrection, that it was reality, he'd come early in the morning to the temple and preach that Jesus Christ who's resurrected. What are they going to do to me anyway? Kill me? Yeah, they were going to. Jesus had told him they were going to. That was the last message Jesus left him with. You're going to die on a cross too someday, brother. That didn't matter. Resurrection was reality.
Right.
And nothing else mattered. It didn't matter anymore who was the greatest. They were of one accord.
Right.
Things that had mattered so much suddenly disappear in a vapor under the umbrella of resurrection.
Yeah.
If resurrection is not reality, nothing else matters. And if resurrection is reality, nothing else matters. Resurrection is a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just makes everything else different. Resurrection fixes everything. Those women that are sitting there by the tomb, those two women, one of the saddest verses, I guess, in the Bible. They're sitting against the sepulcher. Ever been there? Sepulcher's a grave now, in case you don't know that. They're sitting by the grave of their friend who's gone, and their hopes are dashed. And they thought he might be the one. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, they come to the sepulcher to anoint his dead body. And an angel said, "He is not here. He is risen."
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Y'all did pretty good. I got to that part of the nursing home one time. That part, "He is not here, he is risen." And those folks started clapping and cheering. And they were screaming. And I was sort of not with it in a couple of ways that day. I didn't know the power in that verse, "He is not here, he's risen." And I didn't know the spirit in that room that day. And maybe I didn't know the feeling that old folks have when they hear about resurrection. When they hear about resurrection, they get to shouting. And they start clapping their hands. And that kind of works on an old Baptist preacher. I had one of them one time say, "What kind of Baptist are you? You're some kind of charismatic Baptist." You say, when they get to clapping, I kind of get happy too. And maybe I act up a little bit. I don't know, but I'm not going to tell you everything that happens in the nursing home. But I kind of get happy too down there some days. And when they wave their hands, I'll wave right with them.
That's right.
Resurrection gets you happy. But it's not just the old folks. It's more the old folks. Anybody that looks at death needs to know about resurrection.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
My grandson, about 3 years old, we're coming back from a visitation. It was a great aunt, but his grandmother wanted him to be there, though he was just three. His mom and dad weren't exactly agreeable to it, but for the sake of her wishes, he'd gone to the visitation. We leave the visitation in Nashville and we're heading back to Dawson Springs, Kentucky. He's in the back seat and everything's kind of quiet. And he said, "Pops, that's going to happen to me someday." I said, "What's going to happen to you someday?" He said, "What happened to Aunt Minnie's going to happen to me someday." I said, "You're right." That's 3 years old. He said, "Pops, but I'm not going to stay in that thing." I think he was talking about the box. I said, "You're right. You're not going to stay there, but it'll happen to you." It's pretty good news to a little fella too, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I grew up in the Cold War, and where I lived, the bomb was going to hit Fort Campbell. And in the radius around there, I was going to be bacon. I was old enough to understand what they were saying on the news, and I was pretty concerned about dying, especially that way. But that seemed a little better than if I'd lived off in Nashville somewhere, or maybe, well, that's probably about the same distance, off in Louisville or somewhere like that. They're going to die a slow death. They were describing this on the nightly news, and I was scared. But I was brought up in church, and I did know a few things, and I don't remember that part so much, but I needed to know more about that part, that wasn't all there was atomic bombs and frying like bacon. Whatever, how old you are, you need to know about resurrection.
Amen.
But especially you need to know about it when you get close to death. And that happens to all of us all the time. Maybe not about ourselves, but when we're sitting against a sepulcher somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we're at a funeral home.
Yeah.
I was with a dear brother, good friend, Kenny Blevins. He had the job of preaching the funeral, and I was just the assist, you know, that's the easy part. I was going to read a verse or two and say a prayer and then turn it over to Brother Kenny. We're sitting there, and he's before the funeral starts, and we're back in the little room, and he's going back and forth, and I'm sitting quiet. Finally, he just said, "Well, I guess I'll just preach about resurrection again." I'm not making fun of this brother. He's far ahead of me in knowledge and understanding and preaching ability, and I said, "Good choice, brother." And he went in there and started talking about patiently waiting for the coming of Christ.
Yeah.
And he started in the back. I've done my job, and I'm sitting down here and just observing, but I'm in a position where I can see the crowd. It started in the back that the heads were nodding. And then it came on closer, and it got up to the front. You know, the way it works in a funeral in our area, the closer you are to the front, the more important you are, at least the closer you are, you know, the one that's gone. And these prime seats up here are saved for the one that loved them the most. And in the front row, the heads begin to raise and the expressions begin to change. And they started saying amen. They needed to hear about resurrection again, didn't they?
Yeah.
Good choice, brother. Patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. And there's hope in that for those who are close to death. Whether you're close to death at the nursing home, or whether you're close to death at the funeral home, or whether you're close to death when you get to thinking about things as a little boy or as an old man. You need to know about resurrection, don't you?
Yeah.
Because if resurrection is reality, nothing else really matters, remember? It really doesn't matter. Be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. It's a tough thing to face death. That's real too.
Yeah.
I want to make like it's nothing, such as that. It's been a year or so ago. Best I remember is a Tuesday morning. The reason I remember it is because I've saved the messages. Got a text from my son, a grown man. "Watched a man die last night, Dad. Car wreck in front of my house. I tried to help. Called 911. They got there too late. Can't hardly work. I answered in some feeble way, trying to give comfort to a young man I love a lot. Don't like to see a little boy hurting, even if he's bigger than you." He wrote back to me a text. The reel just keeps playing over and over in my mind. "I wouldn't have been a good soldier. I wouldn't have been a good soldier." I say that probably to some men here who were soldiers. Speaking of that, a Primitive Baptist brother a few months ago. We're together and we're riding in a car and the trip is long. Conversation maybe has become a little, leastways where he's been thinking about something comes up and he says, "I'd like to talk to you about something, brother, if you don't care to listen." I said, "Sure." I said, "You care if I talk to you about Vietnam? In the 60s, and he's in his 60s, and he wants to talk about Vietnam. And he talked for a long time, for many miles. I just listened. He said, "I still can't sleep at night." About 2 weeks ago, another Primitive Baptist preacher brother, he'd been in a position, a little better than some probably, but at times he had to discharge his weapon in the direction of the enemy. But that didn't happen often with him, as with some men. But he was so troubled. Still so troubled from something back in the 60s. I tried to talk with him. He said, "I got home and my only relief was my dad recognized what I was going through. My dad hit the beach at Normandy and he understood. And we talked. He said, Dad told me, said, when you need to talk again, we'll talk again, son." Dad and I talked a lot. It's hard for preacher boys to face death.
Yeah.
Not just when they're in Vietnam, young and careless. When they're old, still thinking back. After having preached for years and understand resurrection, It's still hard for anybody to face death, isn't it? It's kind of real, isn't it? Tell you about another fellow that faced death here about 3 years ago. You've got your story. This is my turn. My wife and I pulled into the parking lot of the hospital, and cell phone rang and said, "Hurry. Where are you? Hurry." My dad was on the fifth or sixth floor of that hospital. We took off about as fast as old folks could go. Got into the room, and I'd seen it before, and I saw it again. The face. I looked at the nurse who had been so kind, and she's standing there with him, and she shook her head and said, "He's gone." And I went over, and my hopeless feelings leaned right over his face. I said, "Love you, Dad." And he said, "You too." I thought he was gone, and everybody thought he was gone, and maybe he was gone. I don't know how to explain that, but he said, "You too." Resurrection is certain. It's reality.
Right, yeah.
In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It's a certain hope. It's not like we say hope. It's not hoping you win the lottery, or hoping you can find a better job, or hoping this or hoping that you don't really have a lot of basis for. The word in the Bible for hope is a certainty, a reality.
Yes.
It's just not here yet.
Right, right. Amen.
We have a hope of eternal life because God promised it. And it's a certain hope in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 2, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us.
Right.
I like that part too.
Yeah.
That's the next verse. I'm looking for a blessed hope, and that's when Christ comes back and resurrection's reality, in reality,
yeah,
and not in hope.
Right.
But the hope of reality of the resurrection is certain,
yeah,
because Christ gave Himself for you.
Amen.
What's
right.
that got to do with it?
Amen.
My friends, if he's going to quit, don't you reckon he'd quit before the cross?
Right.
Huh?
That's right.
If he's gone that far, can anybody stop him now?
No.
Nobody could have stopped him from going that far.
No.
But he went that far. That's history.
No.
That was talked about yesterday. If he's gone that far, if he gave himself for us, he's coming back and getting us, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
That's certain.
Amen. Yes, sir.
In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. The hope is in the book of Titus, the third chapter, one more time. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done. It's by the renewing of that Holy Ghost and that regenerating of the Spirit of God that we're given this. And that gives us in the next verse or two there a certain hope of eternal life.
Right.
Because God didn't leave that part to dangle either, did He?
Amen. Amen.
God promised it in chapter 1. God paid for it in chapter 2. God applied it in chapter 3. And I want you to sorrow not as others that have no hope.
Right.
Because He's coming back.
Right.
And
Amen.
Resurrection's reality. Going to close your eyes, breathe your last, but you're going to immediately. That's right, brother. Pointing up. You're almost ready to go to the nursing home. I think he's pointing up because that's where we're going when we breathe our last. That's all right if you want to hold your hand up, too. Absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yep.
But what about that part when you breathe your last? We're pretty sure about after that. What about that moment? What's it going to be like? Kind of makes you scary, doesn't it? Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's been with you all the way along, hasn't he? He's promised He'll never leave you, hadn't He?
Yeah.
Has He ever left you yet?
No.
That mother and her sucking child, that's not for sure, but this is for sure that He'll never forsake you.
Amen.
And He won't at that moment either.
Yeah, that's right.
When you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, He'll be with you and you won't be afraid.
Right.
You might have troubles before you get to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, it's going to be okay. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare the place, I will come again and receive you unto Myself.
That's right.
Is that the same thing as not being afraid because He's going to be with us when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, that He's coming to get us? And does He make that trip every time? I don't know for sure, but I kind of believe He does. I kind of take that to be what that means. He's a busy, busy God, isn't He? Oh, He's not busy for Him. He's not like we are.
That's right.
He can hear all the prayers at once, can't He?
Yeah, that's right.
He can help all the folks at once, can't He?
Yeah, right.
I reckon He can come get us all when it's time and still be up there, can't He?
Yeah, right. Amen.
I can't explain it, but I believe it.
Right.
I think when I go, He's going to come and get me and take me. When I'm passing through, I'm not going to be scared because right there He's going to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you a story about Norma McIntyre. You don't know Norma, but I wish you did. She's gone now. But she's not forgotten. I was pastoring the church in Evansville, Indiana. Norma had been kind of a problem for a couple of years. So she was hurting so bad that no matter what I tried or no matter what I said or no matter what I prayed, I'd leave the nursing home crying. Because Norma wasn't any better. And she was in agony. That's for about the last year or so. I got a call at work one afternoon. Wanted me to come to Mount Vernon, Indiana, about 100 miles from where I lived. I said, I'll have to wrap things up here. Take me just a few minutes and I'll head that way. They'd sent Norma back from the hospital where she'd been for a few days back to the nursing home to die. And she wanted to see me. And a long trip it was that day. Because I didn't know what I was going to say. And I was sure it wasn't going to help. Got to her room and her daughter-in-law were there in the room. And they said, we'll give you all some time together. And they left the room. And I tried to talk with Norma, and I prayed with Norma, and she's writhing in agony. And for lack of anything else, even understanding that from God's Word, it says there's sometimes you're not even going to be able to sing a song when they're in such misery, it's not going to help. But I started singing Amazing Grace. And it seemed like, after a verse or so, that she was settling down a little bit. And I sang every verse I could think of, because it seemed like it might be helping. And I got through, and she is still. And I thought maybe she'd gone to sleep, but when I got through with the last 10,000 years, she opened her eyes and she said, I want to go home.
Yeah.
And she wasn't talking about back to the farm. She's ready to leave this world. She'd had enough. I want to go home. I said, Norma, those things are not in my hands. We're in God's hands and our times are in His hands. I said, Jesus knows. And the song, not that I was smart enough to think of the song was just there. Come what may of joy or sorrow, be my portion, pain or rest. And you get to the chorus of that song, and it goes, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. But between those two Jesus knows, there's a place for a soft, alto, weak voice with somewhat of a death rattle to echo my words, Jesus knows, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. And Norma was singing. We sang Blessed Assurance, and she sang it with me, and she opened her eyes when we got through, and she said, "Brother Jeff, I could feel the Spirit so strong, I thought I was gone." I guess that's a disappointing look to look at me, wasn't it? And I said to her, "Norma, you hadn't heard singing yet. Just you wait. It won't be long." And we sang, "It Is Well With My Soul. Lord, haste the day." And we got through with that one, and the room was quiet. The room was full. There was somebody there besides Norma and Jeff. That part's real too. And the door opened, and here comes the son and daughter-in-law and two friends that had showed up, and they came in, and Norma's laying there in the peace of the room and the quietness, and they whisper, "How's she doing?" I said, "I think she may be feeling better. She's been singing." They looked at me like I was a fool. And about that time, Norma bailed me out. And she began to sing, "I am safe. I am safe in His arms." And she sang that one. And I didn't much know the words. I can't even think of them right now. And she got through singing that one, and she said, "That's my favorite. They sang that when I was baptized." And one of the women who had come in said, "I bet we all know Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. When I close these eyes and take that fleeting breath," and I can't quote the song, but "open my eyes, and there He's going to be in Rock of Ages." It wasn't at that moment. It was probably the next day, maybe the next, that I got the phone call and Norma was gone. I think there's dying grace.
Yeah. Right.
I think the God that's loved us from before the foundation of the world and hung on a cross for us and has been so faithful to us through our 6 and 7 troubles down here, you know He's not going to leave you then. He's going to be right there.
Amen.
And it may be rough getting there. I don't make any promises that way. And you may be praying for a peaceful party. And you may know people and you may be thinking, "Yeah, that's right, preacher. That was fine for Norma, but that wasn't the way it was with..." And you have to fill in that blank. But let me tell you another story. This isn't a Jeff story. This is a Bible story. A man's name was Stephen. You remember him, don't you? He's preaching. They don't like what he's preaching, and they start throwing rocks at him. These aren't gravels like you're going to run off a stray dog with. These are bone-breaking.
Yeah. Right.
Something's going to happen here. There's going to be a fatal wound somewhere. There's going to be a cracked skull or a broken ribs. These are concrete blocks they're throwing at this guy with all their strength. That's not a peaceful parting, is it? Why, it was too. Didn't look like it, now did it? Let's ask it that way.
No.
What's going on the inside? You're seeing him bash to smithereens. What's Stephen seeing? Who is Stephen seeing?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Stephen seeing Jesus standing up. Stephen seeing him so strong, he just filled with him to the point he's begging for forgiveness for those that's throwing the rocks.
Wow.
Man, that's full of the Spirit, isn't it? Stephen leaves this world praying the same prayer Jesus prayed when he left this world. "Father, forgive him. It's all okay. This world doesn't matter anyway." Resurrection's reality. Dying grace is real too, I think.
Yes.
If in this life only we have hope, this whole world's not much anyway, really, when you get right down to the nitty-gritty and look at it. I don't say there's not good gifts that God gives us. I'm looking forward to seeing my wife here in a little while. Lord willing, I'm going to pick up twin grandgirls on the way and take them home with me. I'm looking for a good afternoon. I've had a good couple of days. There's blessings here.
Amen.
What if this is all there is? It goes so quick and life is so short. And not worth much if this is really all there is it? Folks, this isn't all there is.
Amen.
Thanks to Jesus hanging on that cross and paying the debt you couldn't pay. And you having the righteousness of God, that's your ticket to get in now. You're going to leave this world for long. I don't care if you're five, it's going to be for long. But in a way, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever, because resurrection's reality. If you like that reality, if you're turned on by the idea of God coming down from heaven and dying for you on the cross and Him getting up and the hope of you getting up someday and going to be with Him to say thank you forever, then you have a chance to paint a picture of that resurrection.
Yes,
a picture that He's left for us to paint over and over and over until He finally comes back.
Amen.
You can be, in a sense, put in a grave of water and raised up out of that grave of water. And in that, you'll preach a better sermon about resurrection than I'll ever preach standing here.
Yep.
You get your chance to preach if you'd like to proclaim that that's who you love and that's who you want to be with forever. Not that this is going to get you there doing that, but it'll sure make you feel good to do that.
Amen.
Preach a sermon, a visible sermon, a show-and-tell kind of sermon about resurrection, but be baptized. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.